Pastor Ray Bentley explains why Satan is the accuser of the brethren.
The devil uses our sin to drive a wedge between us and God. He wants you to say, I'm worthless. Anything that makes you feel the shame and guilt and then drives you away from God is from the devil. Conviction makes you want to come to Jesus. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future.
Spreading the news, all of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice, Jesus is coming. Join the song, sing along, let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Satan's number one priority is to get believers to stumble. He just loves to watch us fall. He knows something about falling. He fell from heaven and took a third of the angels with him. Today, a glimpse of the devil's final demise and good counsel on resisting his influence in the meantime. Here's Pastor Ray.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. It says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We see here a coming war in heaven. There is a verse that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. It's a very powerful truth. And it very simply, the one phrase says, first the natural, then the spiritual. Now, what does that mean? Why did Paul say that? What's he talking about? Paul is describing and talking about how God reveals divine secrets through the natural realm that only those who have eyes to see and ears to hear with the Holy Spirit see something in the natural, but they understand it at a deeper level in the spirit, that it has spiritual value and meaning. For instance, when Christ was crucified on Good Friday, guess what happened on that day? There was an earthquake. The day that Jesus was lifted up on the cross and nailed to the cross, God sent an earthquake throughout all of Israel, and he shook the ground because he wanted to awaken the people that they might know something much deeper is happening in the spiritual realm. My son is paying for the sins of the whole world. And the third day, 3 days later, when the stone was rolled away and Jesus rose from the dead again, the third day, there was another mighty earthquake that shook the ground of all of Israel. And God was saying, my son has now risen from the dead. I've kept my promise, even as I told you, and all the prophecies leading up to it. Well, now I bring this analogy now to Revelation. We're talking about, the Bible says, that in the prophet Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37, in the latter years and in the latter days, God said, I will reclaim and draw back the ancient covenant people, the Jewish people, from the four corners of the earth. I think over 15 times in that prophecy of Ezekiel, he says, I will bring them back. They've been scattered to the four winds and the four corners of the earth. I'm going to bring them back right where they came from. And Israel, which had died as a nation, will be resurrected and will come back to life. Now, what's interesting is, and I'm interpreting what I see the prophet Ezekiel say. He said, I will bring them back first physically as a nation. And then second, afterwards, I will bring spiritual renewal. And I believe that he has just begun to blow into the nation of Israel, because we have now Jewish believers and brothers and sisters in the land of Israel, along with the community that is there, that are the Messianic community from the north to the south to the east to the west. There's over 15,000 of them, which I know does not seem a big number to you, but in the tiny country of Israel, it has now hit critical mass. Though they are few in number, they are scattered proportionately, evenly around the nation, and they are beginning to gather strength, and they are beginning to make an impact and a difference. They are standing up as a light and reclaiming Jesus as the Jewish fulfillment of the prophecies. So the Spirit is beginning even now to be breathed in. So here's what God said. I'll regather the Jewish people back into their land. When that happens, they'll be surrounded on all sides by enemies. And eventually the enemies will attack them and there'll be this big war. And then there will be a peace treaty, and the peace treaty will have 7 years, and then halfway through it, 3.5 years into it, it'll fall apart. And that's where the Antichrist comes in, and you have 3.5 years where heaven and hell literally are breaking loose. And ultimately, the end of that comes the second coming of Jesus Christ. So now we're halfway through, and this is what we're reading about, the greatest war of all. If there is war on the earth that is coming, first the natural, then you know spiritually something is happening on a cosmic level in the heavens. And what does it say? Read with me again, verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. When war breaks out on the earth, you can know that war is breaking out in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. This is evil finally getting its due. So, halfway through the tribulation, there's war in heaven, and Satan is kicked out. By the way, I want you to note, who initiates the holy war? The holy war in heaven is initiated by, not Satan, but by Michael and the army of heaven's angels. Michael is the one that the Father basically says, get him out of here. And in response, the devil and his angels fight back. But their defensive action and the forces of evil prove a total failure. They are not strong enough. There is therefore no more place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon is thrown down in defeat. The forces of evil, the battle is lost. This is the beginning of the end for the devil. I want you to note with me, read Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, look at me in verse 10. And this is a very important verse. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Question, where is Satan today? This might shock some of you, but the devil is not in hell. He's in heaven. What is he doing in heaven? Why does God allow him in heaven? I don't know. But he has been allowed there. He's been there since the days of the book of Job, chapter 1, accusing the brethren. And he's still there accusing us, you and I. And halfway through the tribulation, God says, you know, okay, I've listened to you, I'm done with you, and now you're out. And he gets kicked out. Then he comes to the earth below. That's why the last 3.5 years are not only heaven on earth, but they are hell on earth. Because the devil then is right here with his false son and the false prophet working his schemes, bringing the world to Armageddon, ready to blow the whole thing to smithereens. And then when God finally sentences the devil to hell, Satan will not be hell's king. Rather, he will be the most tormented individual of all the inhabitants of hell. The devil's number one tactic for the last, you know, forever, has been this. He is the accuser of the brethren. And this has been his most effective tactic against believers. And this is why it is vital that you and I read the Bible for the truth of our identity in Christ and not rely upon our feelings. So let me put it to you this way, as I mentioned here in your notes. It is absolutely vital and imperative, and especially now at this moment, that you and I learn to distinguish between the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the condemnation of the devil. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, Their condemnation is not from God. It is not from the Father. It is not from the heart of your Father. It is not from Jesus Christ. It is not of the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with you as a child of God. Write down this scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Your sins have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. No condemnation. Now, if Jesus' ministry and mission is not condemnation, how could that be the church's mission or ministry? Many Christians think that their purpose is to go make people feel guilty about their sins. That's condemnation. Do you know why you don't need to condemn people and make them feel guilty about all the wrong things they've done? Here's the answer. The Bible says they're condemned already. Whether they're open about it or not, honest about it or not, people are walking around with a load of guilt that weighs them down. They don't need to be told that they're guilty. They know, whether they admit it or honest or not, they're guilty, they're condemned. What they need to hear is that they can be delivered and saved and forgiven and washed and cleansed and loved and embraced by the love of God. Hallelujah. We've got the best news for the world.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. You may not realize how much your comments mean to us here at Maranatha Radio. They're important. We so appreciate it when we hear from our listeners.
Hello, Pastor Ray. I've been listening to your program for about 2 weeks now, and what a godsend your teaching has been. My story is probably like many others. I knew of Jesus when I was young, but as I grew older, I put him aside. I began to experience problems like emptiness, anger, etc. You know, all the requirements for Prozac. After the umpteenth letdown and several more bad choices, God decided to bless me anyway with the greatest earthly blessing ever, the true and unconditional love of my husband. I want to thank you for sharing the unconditional love of God with your listeners every day.
It's our number one goal to bless listeners and to draw them closer to the Lord as they listen to these studies. So when we hear confirmation of the impact of the program, it's encouraging and provides vital confirmation. If you have a comment to share, please don't keep it to yourself. Write a few words today. Send them to ray@raybentley.com. ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So we all say and do things that make us guilty. Now, guilt is not bad if God uses it to bring us back to Him. But guilt can be deadly if we allow the devil to use it to draw us away from God. The devil uses our sin to drive a wedge between us and God. He wants you to say, I'm worthless. And then when you say, I'm worthless, the devil goes, you're right, you're worthless. We pound on our own head. And the devil goes, oh, that's good. Can I pound on a little? Okay, yeah. And we hand the hammer over and he pounds on our head. And he goes, don't you want to pound some more? Yeah. Bam, 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 bam. I'm so worthless. And then he says, oh man, it's Sunday comes around, you better not go to church. Are you kidding, dude, after the week you've had? So you go, you're right, I'm worthless, I shouldn't go to church. Then you get spiritually hungry, should I open the Bible? Oh man, you're gonna open the Bible now? Oh dude, he goes, you can't open the Bible. And all of a sudden you're going, well, I can't go to church, I can't read the Bible, and I just feel guilty and condemned all the time, and then the devil's got you, you're playing right into his hands. Now, conviction. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. Now, let me give you very simply the difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation, anything that makes you feel the shame and guilt and then drives you away from God is from the devil. That's from the devil. Conviction makes you want to come to Jesus. Conviction makes you want to run to the presence of the Lord. Conviction says, I need life. I want life. I'm sick of death. I want life. I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to feel the presence of His Spirit. I want life and joy and peace. I must have life. And you run to the church. You want to open your Bible. I need words of life. I need something to chew on. I am starving to death. You are drawn, conviction brings you to and into the presence of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus Christ. Now, classic example, illustration that you'll immediately relate to, one man who came under condemnation and the other who came under conviction, who both committed the same sin, Judas Iscariot and Peter. Judas Iscariot, think about what happened to him. When he betrayed Jesus Christ, his guilt drove him to hang himself because he felt the condemnation. He could have gone to Jesus or approached Jesus or talked to Jesus or said something or whatever, but he never did. He just went further and further and further away, and he let himself get pounded down until finally he took his own life. Peter also betrayed Jesus. And you could honestly say he betrayed every bit as much and bitterly as Judas did. Three times, not just once, but three times. And with swearing and with cursing. But the interesting thing, the difference between Peter and Judas is Peter went to Jesus. He followed Jesus even to his trial, even though he was following from afar. But he was there when Jesus got beaten, and then Jesus came out. Remember, Peter was there, close enough that Peter's eyes met Jesus' eyes, and Jesus, after just having been beaten, looks at Peter, and it says, Peter saw the Lord, and he wept bitterly. Do you know what happened? What did Jesus communicate through his face? What did Peter see in the face of Jesus? Peter saw a look of love, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, and it broke his heart, and he wept bitterly. And then Jesus meets him after the resurrection on the shores of Galilee, and Peter dives into the water, and he comes to Jesus, and Jesus is there and dripping wet, and Jesus asks Peter, do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord. Jesus says, good, then feed my sheep. Second time, a little while later, he says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Good, then feed my sheep. A little later, third time, do you really love me, Peter? Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Good, then feed my sheep. Three times he let him confess, be healed. Conviction brought him to Jesus. He was restored. And it wasn't just that he was forgiven and come into the back door of heaven. He said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Because you are the picture of what I want every human being to know. You are not worthless. Your life is not to be thrown away. It is precious because you're made in my image. And you will represent for me the redemption I want from every person, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every kindred, tongue, tribe, and people, and family on the earth. So, let's close with verse 11, which tells us how to overcome the attacks of the devil. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, number one, by the word of their testimony, number two, and they did not love their lives to the death. Here's how to overcome the tactics of the devil. Number one, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So here is, you know, the accuser who is before God. And it's kind of like, what is the devil? I'm going to give you a little story, and the stories are analogies. So the devil before the Lord is the accusing prosecutor. And he has all these books, and in the books, he has a book for your life, the devil does. He knows every wrong thing you've ever done. And here's the problem. Every accusation he has is true. We're all guilty. And he has the proof, and he has the evidence. Now, our defense attorney is Jesus. The devil gets up and he can't wait. Anderson? Yeah. You stand there shivering, everybody looking at you. The devil goes, on March the 3rd, 4:30 in the afternoon, you. And all of a sudden, Anderson's like, oh man, I'm just going to get nailed. And Jesus, his attorney, stands up and says, I make a motion for a dismissal of this trial against, from the devil against Anderson. The judge looks to the Son, Jesus, and Jesus says, Father, we accede that all of these things are true. Anderson was already found guilty. He was already sentenced. His sentence was death, and the sentence has already been paid. Therefore, by virtue of double jeopardy and that the sin has already been paid for, I ask you, dismiss this case. And the judge looks and he says, can you give any evidence and proof that these crimes have already been paid for? And the judge raises his hands. And the holes in his hands, and the judge says, case dismissed. Boom, we are scot-free. Hallelujah. So, I want to say this to you. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Read with me 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you apply the cross to your life, when you make Jesus Lord, you are forgiven of your sins. Number two, they overcame him by the word of their testimony. Your personal testimony, believe it or not, threatens and intimidates the devil because it can bring conviction to the hearts of those around you. There is nothing like the evidence of a transformed, changed life that gives hope to the world. And you are the expert on your own life and your own testimony. Thirdly, they overcame him because they loved not their lives unto death. In other words, they were ready to die for Christ. They do not value their lives more than their loyalty to Jesus. Why? Because I'm going to be resurrected anyway. They're willing to pay the ultimate price. Jesus said, whoever loves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for his sake will find eternal life. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out what it takes to have a relationship with the Lord. And if you'd like to know more about what it means to follow the Lord, let us invite you to go to our website, raybentley.com. Click on Knowing God under the word About, and Pastor Ray will answer your questions there. Again, raybentley.com. Now, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for Glory in Heaven and Earth. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for your gift of any amount. Just mention the title, Glory in Heaven and Earth. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Revelation on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we hear from people who listen to your studies each day, and they might be surprised at how much those letters, those emails really encourage us.
Yes. We put the radio on and we put it out, and it's free for everybody to enjoy, to listen to, hopefully to get blessed and encouraged. But it's not like when I am at my church and there's people that walk up and say, oh, I thank you for this or that point that you made, or God really touched me here, there. And I love seeing people, meeting people and whatever, but on the radio or online, it's invisible. I cannot tell you how powerful it is. Nobody writes letters anymore, but the smallest thing, if you contact us, if you call us, if you email us, if you write us a letter, send just a little card. Hey, it would be it means a lot to me. I see them. I read them. Dave, we try to pass that on to our people here and to the staff and the people that behind the scenes. It's a lot of people that bring this all together. I can't tell you, it means a world of encouragement that we're doing something that's actually making a difference. It's small maybe to you, but like in our church, when somebody comes up and they go, oh, hi, Pastor Ray. And then I go, well, how did you hear about Maranatha Chapel? Well, I started listening to you about 3 years ago on the radio. And finally, I realized I live in San Diego. I could actually go to your church. I go, wow, it's nice to meet you. That's kind of what it's like. Not everybody throughout the country can actually be here in person, but you can write a letter, you can send a note, write an email or whatever and communicate to us. It just is encouraging. It goes such a long way that it's making a difference in somebody's life somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. So we hope you'll get in touch today. You can write Pastor Ray an email at ray@raybentley.com, or we'll give the mailing address again in just a moment. And keep in mind, to those who can send a donation right now, we want to send a copy of Pastor Ray's new novel, On the Mountain of the Lord, co-written by best-selling author Bodie Taney. It's a thrilling story that also uplifts you in your faith. So send your donation today to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Revelation. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.